Welcome to the Great Western Woods World Building Podcast with me, Angeline Trevina.
And me, HB Line. Join us as we talk all things world building.
Get tips and advice for creating rich and immersive worlds for your stories, whether you're an aspiring author or wanting to level up your world building for future books.
We'll be digging deep into our own experiences and sharing what we've learned along the way to publishing over 15 books between us in 5 years. So get comfy.
And grab a cuppa. Let's get world building.
Hello and welcome to the show. We hope you enjoyed the last podcast. We would really appreciate it if you could take a minute to leave a review or share the podcast on social media. You can tag us at Great Western Woods on Instagram and the GWW podcast on Twitter.
October is Mental Health Month, and October the 10th was World Mental Health Day. So we wanted to talk about this a little because it's a subject that is very close to our hearts.
It is indeed. So a bit of personal backstory from me first. I've been living with depression and anxiety for as long as I can remember. Not that I understood what it was when I was very young. But it is actually the thing that set me on this journey to becoming a writer. I distinctly remember when I was 13 and suffering a particularly awful bout of depression. I was refusing to go to school. I sat at the foot of the stairs crying and in a state of panic. My mum held me and told me I couldn't go to school in that state and that she wanted to help me. The thing she thought would help was us joining the local writer's circle. She wanted to give me something that I would enjoy. It was a simplistic solution that didn't really have the desired outcome in making me happier, but it did get me started with writing and sharing my efforts. But depression is a chronic condition and there really isn't a cure. I have good days and bad months, but with effort and a lot of therapy, I've figured out how to manage it mostly.
And I have anxiety. It actually took me many, many years to realise that that was what it was. For one, I thought that everyone was like me. I thought that everyone lay awake in the middle of the night replaying something stupid that they did or said like 20 years ago with their face burning with shame. I honestly thought that it was just normal behaviour. For another thing, my anxiety tends to manifest in lots of different ways. Panic attacks, obsessive compulsive behaviour, overcompensating, depression, agoraphobia. So yeah, it's really only in the last few years that I've been able to pin down that it all stems from anxiety.
I think a lot of us think that our experience is typical when it really isn't. At the same time, certainly as teenagers, we also think we're the only ones going through what we are, when really almost everyone is going through the same thing. It's a peculiar dichotomy. It was quite a revelation to me to spend a night with someone who just fell straight to sleep and didn't lie there for several hours first churning.
Creativity in general has always been very cathartic for me and very much a form of therapy. I actually wanted to be an actress when I grew up. It was something I was pretty unwavering in from a very, very young age up until university. So, yeah, my whole childhood was taken up with singing lessons, dance lessons, theatre lessons, rehearsals, learning lines and performances. I practically grew up on the stage, which seems a little crazy for someone with anxiety and actual life-restricting shyness. But I was in costume and I was in character. It was never actually me on that stage, it was someone else. I lived vicariously through another character. And similarly, that's what writing is for me too. I live vicariously through my characters. They go to places and do things that I could never see myself doing. And the interesting thing is that I don't live vicariously through them by making them my opposite, by making my weaknesses their strengths, by making them basically the opposite of anxious. No, I actually make them very much like me. They overthink, they react when they should act, they're hesitant and indecisive. and they rise up anyway, and they triumph despite it. That is how I live vicariously through my characters, and it really helps me, and I don't see it as me living my life behind someone else's mask at all. That's not what it is. I have many different aspects to my personality, and somewhere deep inside, there is someone who's brave and outspoken and someone who leads the way. She comes out sometimes, and writing about those kind of characters helps to remind me that she's there. But in practical day-to-day terms, theatre armed me with a million different coping mechanisms. Unsurprisingly, I suffer from terrible, crippling stage fright. It's awful, and it's never eased through all the performances I've done in my life. It's still as bad as it always was. But no one would ever know, because theatre taught me to take all of my nerves and my fear and turn it into focus and energy and, in a way, confidence. People have to know me really, really, really well to know the truth about what's going on inside my head. It's like I actually have a stammer. And again, you'd have to know me really, really well to have ever, ever heard it. Because after years and years of dealing with it, I know my trigger words and sounds, and I just talk around them.
Yeah, I didn't know you had a stammer.
There you go.
And we talk on the daily, and I've never heard it. So writing for me is both an escape and a catharsis as well. I grew up performing too, and was also set on a career in film or theatre. I would get nervous, but no full-on stage fright. I loved performing, well, acting. Singing on stage terrified me, but I wanted to do it, and I pushed myself to do it. But I never fit in with the drama crowd and really struggled to make friends. I didn't understand what made me different and why the other girls didn't like me. It was years later that I came to understand that my sensitivity made me an easy target for their projected insecurities. When I was at university studying drama, film and television, I discovered that I was a highly sensitive person and everything clicked into place. I learned how to use my sensitivity to create believable characters and, I hope, heart-wrenching stories. I write dark stories because that's where my head goes. It's pretty automatic. I write about the darkness in order to wrap my head around it, to cope with the darkness that I see in the real world through the lens of my own depression.
And do you have characters in your books with mental health issues?
Not explicitly. I wouldn't ever name, slap a diagnosis on a character, but there are a number of big question marks. The main character in my Shifters of Caerten series develops a deep psychological problem halfway through the series after making an extremely dubious moral decision regarding a packmate. She starts subconsciously hoarding small items and hiding them. There are also several cases of PTSD. There's someone who hears voices, but is she schizophrenic or are the voices real? Then there's one character who, for a while, I thought had narcissistic personality disorder, but I realized he's ultimately a selfless person. Everything he does is for the good of his pack. So despite having some of the traits of NPD, he definitely doesn't have it. He's one of the central characters in my new work in progress, actually, and it's really fun going back to him.
Yeah, I haven't ever set out consciously to write a character with mental health issues, but as I said already, I tend to write characters who are quite like me, so I guess in a way I do. It's generally more of a case that as I'm writing a character and they're speaking in their own voice to me, I gradually come to the realization that they have anxiety. In my current work in progress, The Settling, which is the third book in my Memory Trader series, my main character, Sula, definitely has anxiety. And it actually took me until the second draft to recognize it, because she's just like me. And to me, that's just normal. So to be honest, it would make me a little bit nervous to try and write about a character with issues that I don't have firsthand experience of. And I think, yeah, I can get a little bit paranoid about writing the other. I worry about things like cultural appropriation and ableism and all the other isms that I might accidentally trip over, because from my position of privilege, I don't even realize I'm writing something wrong or offensive. And I think more so these days, when we're more aware of other people and other backgrounds and other lifestyles, and when as authors, we're so reachable now via reviews and social media that we need to be aware of these things, because all of us can only ever write from our own egocentric view of the world. And we can hire sensitivity readers to check that what we've said is all right, that we're portraying real characters, which is, of course, what we all want to do. But I wonder how far that actually goes. Because we're still viewing the world through the lens of our own experience. And even when that lens is broadened, it's still our own lens. I don't know. I think I'm probably just rambling now. Am I making any sense anymore?
Yeah, you are. Research is so important, yes. And some mental health problems have been very poorly depicted, usually in villains. It's the easy cop-out in some cases to explain away villainous behaviour. Not all psychopaths are murderers. Most aren't, in fact, because statistically 1 in 20 people have psychopathic traits. Though that does explain most of the wankers on the roads.
And, you know, you can never please everyone. Not everyone is ever going to like your books. But there is a difference between people not liking your genre or your voice or style and you actually writing something that's ignorant and offensive. It's just a simple issue of research. If you were setting a story in a real place, you'd research that place. If you were writing about police procedure or a medical procedure or a particular scientific theory or a certain historical event, you'd research it to get it right. And it's exactly the same with your characters. It's just research so that you're getting it right. The knowledge and understanding and experience is out there, and it's just a case of learning it. Because once upon a time, people didn't understand things like autism or epilepsy, and these people, who have always existed, were mistaken for criminals or lunatics or victims of witchcraft or even witches themselves. They were killed and locked up and experimented on because there was no understanding, no knowledge. And that's something I love writing about in my books, people with special abilities. When there's magic or extra abilities in my world, I never give them to everyone. And I love writing about the differences and the conflict between those who can and those who can't. How about you, Holly? How are people outside the perceived norm of society? How are they treated in your books?
So my books are all set in the real world, more or less. So among humanity is all the prejudice and social strife found in like Britain today, unfortunately. Among my characters, though, is a different story. There are divides and a heck of a lot of conflict, but for the most part, that's not because of discrimination or prejudice. Mostly it's about suspicion of disloyalty. I guess from a certain point of view, the ideological conflicts could be viewed as religious and maybe as prejudicial as we see in the real world. But I don't set out to do that. People who are supposedly a little bit odd, like the people with those question marks I mentioned earlier, they're treated the same as anyone else, either with fierce loyalty or deep suspicion.
In my Memory Trader series, the traders have the ability to extract unwanted memories from people's heads, which they then carry in their own minds until they can sell them on to someone who wants them. And in a society, the traders are completely ostracized and pushed to the fringes. They can't stand for government or vote or attend regular schools or even live among other people. They're feared. And I created a whole load of vicious and insulting slang words that people use for them. Since, like, basically the dawn of time, mankind has feared the other. Now, back when we lived in caves, I can see how it was helpful. Strangers possibly meant danger, or at best, another mouth to feed. And that fear continues today, that fear of the other. And by the other, I basically mean anyone who isn't white, male, able-bodied. And it is fear caused by ignorance and lack of understanding that often manifests as anger and violence. We've seen it time and time again throughout human history. So when you're world building a diverse society, it's something to think about. Who is feared and why are they feared? And blimey, give the other some kind of paranormal ability, you know, like the ability to give birth. And you've really got trouble on your hands. So think about the power struggles. Who is kept down in society? Who is pushed aside? And who pushes them aside and how? It doesn't have to be through war or violence. It can be through legislation. If you can control someone's access to things like education, healthcare, employment rights, democracy, etc., then you can oppress them and reduce their chances of social mobility. And if you can control their media consumption, then you can control their thoughts, potentially. And we have countless examples of that too. A diet of propaganda, it is not a new thing.
Unfortunately not, but the less said about Brexit, the better. I don't have any sexism in my books. That's one of the things that I try to put right, to paint the world as I would like to see it.
Yeah, my books tend to be rather feminist, but one person's feminism is another person's something else altogether. So I think you can find yourself in a bit of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. And I think it's a bit of a shame, really. And I think it can inhibit the true diversity that we need to see more in literature. On the other hand, it can force people into only writing the other if they truly feel they've done enough research to get it right. So it can create better, albeit fewer, portrayals of diversity. But again, I think I'm probably just rambling again now. I really need reining in, don't I?
That's what I'm here for.
So yeah, when you're writing, think about diversity in your world, which may be a totally different kind of diversity than there is in ours. There may be completely different, unique versions of the other for you to write about and play with. And it's nothing to do with being politically correct or liberal or left-leaning. It's about creating a rich, diverse, and wonderful world that your readers can truly believe. Because it isn't realistic at all that every single person in a society that they think and do and say all the exact same things. And frankly, it would make for horribly dull fiction. There is always diversity in whatever form. So think about the different sections in your society and the different individuals. What makes them different to them or different to them? And how do they deal with that? Is diversity respected, treated with curiosity? Is it feared and hated? What happens when a new culture appears on the horizon and new ideas embraced or rejected? It's a lot of fun to play with, and it can be a great source of conflict, which, as we all know, is the basis of every story.
Yep.
And we will wrap up this episode with a quick word about mental health. So any tips, Holly, for dealing with mental health issues as a writer?
We've talked in previous episodes about being able to adapt your goals, and I think that links in here too. Too many times I've kept ploughing on with something to the detriment of my mental health, mm-hmm. or I've given up on something and then beaten myself up over it. But life happens, and sometimes you have to let yourself stop and take stock and think about what really matters, and that's always going to be your health. Writing can be a great healer for mental health issues, as we've talked about, but not if we burden ourselves with too much pressure. So I think it's important to be really compassionate towards yourself and be okay with stepping back if you need to.
Yeah, and as we're coming up to NaNoWriMo next month, I just really want to press the point that you are more important than your word count. Your worth is not in any way measured by your ability to keep up with or to finally win NaNoWriMo. Your mental well-being is far more important than the daily word count goal. If you need to take a day off or two or three or drop out altogether, that's all right. You're not a failure. It is no measure of you as a person. do what you need to do to look after yourself. Nano can get really stressful. It is a crazy challenge and comes with a lot of pressure, most of which is actually completely self-imposed. So just look after you. You are more important than your word count.
Yeah, and treat it as fun. NaNoWriMo is so much fun and the community is so supportive. So embrace that and you know, lean into that. Yeah. Okay, cool things. You first.
Well, I am very, very excited about some very cool TV adaptations that are coming up on the BBC this autumn. So first of all, I may well have mentioned this before, but they are adapting Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials series, and that's coming out in November, and I am so excited. I absolutely love that series. I was quite late to it. It was only last year that I read the first trilogy, but I read all three books in something like 6 weeks. Absolutely loved them, and now I'm on to the second series as well. And I know a lot of people really hated the original Golden Compass movie, but I love it. I really love that movie. Yes, it's very different to the book, but I do love the movie. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what they do with the trilogy on the TV. The other one that's coming up, which hasn't got a release date yet, but is due this autumn, is a new adaptation of H.G. Wells's The War of the Worlds. And the awesome thing that they are doing with this that hasn't been done before is the book was written in 1897 and they are setting it in the original period, and it's going to be British in the original setting.
Finally!
I know! I'm so excited. Now, The War of the Worlds is very special story for me because when I was a child, my dad was in charge of reading our bedtime stories, and he largely chose books from his own book collection, which is pretty much solely classic sci-fi. So yeah, I actually grew up with my bedtime stories being written by H.G. Wells and things like that, which is probably quite inappropriate for children's bedtime stories, but I'm very thankful to him because obviously he got me into sci-fi in the first place. So yeah, this means a lot to me and I am super, super excited to see what they do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about that as well. So very cool. On topic today, my cool thing is the book Into the Darkness, Hook Your Readers Without Getting Lost in the Dark by David Wright. It's a short and sweet craft book on writing the darker side of life and being a writer with mental health problems. I'm about halfway through it and I highly recommend it. I think even if you don't write horror, it's, I think, a really valuable read.
Yeah, that does sound very cool. Of course, we'll put the link to that book in the show notes, which you can find at greatwesternwoods.com. Now, Holly, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Our would you rather question today. It's a toughie. Would you rather be able to control the emotions of people around you or be able to control the weather?
Weather. That wasn't tough.
No, you were like right in there.
Yeah, I would not dream of controlling other people's emotions. I would have a real problem with that morally. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, other people's emotions can be hard to handle. They have a right to them and I wouldn't want to mess with them. But controlling the weather, I would just make it perpetually a mild sunny day, just forever.
But then other plants would die. They need rain.
Oh, I know. The odd shower would be okay.
How about you? Actually, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That people do have the right to their emotions. But, oh, man, it would be so nice to be able to, like, soothe someone who's really struggling. Mm. And I am like this horrible sponge of an empath, like anyone in any kind of bad mood, like I just sponge that in and I really struggle with that. I find that really hard. It's recently got to a point where it does actually really severely affect my life. So it would be quite nice to be able to affect other people's emotions, just like to save myself from having to adopt what they're feeling all the time. But yeah, you've made me think about that now. Yeah, people do have the right to their emotions and they have the right to feel the way that they do. And being able to control the weather would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? Yeah. You know, if you could guarantee that it's not going to rain when you do your washing or when you've got like a big event planned. And I'm a real difficult one with weather. It's so good I live in the UK where we have, compared to the rest of the world, we have very temperate weather here, don't we?
Yeah, we have a bit of everything.
Yeah, but it's, you know, we don't get any serious extremes. But if I'm too hot, I am so grumpy. And if I'm too cold, also incredibly grumpy. There is like such a thin line of perfect temperature for me. So be quite nice. You know what would be really great is if you could just control the weather in a microclimate around like you.
Yeah.
If you could control like how big the microclimate is, you know? So like if you were going to an event, you could have it really nice and sunny just over that event, you know, and just leave the rest of the world to be whatever weather it wants to be. Yeah, imagine if like controlling the weather was sort of like being you know, like what are they? Air traffic controller, and you had to like seriously like figure out what is going on in every single climate in the world. That would be awful.
I was gonna say I would love to like have a bit of, you know, Thor lightning channeling going on. That would be really cool.
You wouldn't have to like kill off people that you dislike in real life in your books. Not that we'd ever do that.
Smite them down.
Okay, yeah. So I think the answer is we both just want the ability to smite people.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's probably good to leave it there for today. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Done that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Great Western Woods Worldbuilding Podcast. We'll be back next week with more writing tips and tricks.
You can find us in all the usual places. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And all the show notes and whatnot are on our website at greatwesternwoods.com.
On our website, you can also find the link to join our band of adventurers and access our monthly online worldbuilding chat sessions.